Thank you for tuning in. This is the message for today. I want you to take notes, even if you're sitting in your kitchen. The title of today's message is The Favor of God, Finding Favor with God, with the Lord. Let me just give you a couple verses straight out of the gates. In Romans chapter 2, verse 11, and if you want to take notes, go to your app store, type in Celebration Church TW. My notes are inside of that app. You can make your own notes. You can email it to yourself. But in Romans chapter 2, verse 11, it says this, that God does not have any favorites. In other words, God does not love the person on your right or on your left more than he loves you. He doesn't love Moses more than he loves you, loved Moses more. David, King David, he has no favorites. He loves all of us, every single person beyond what we can imagine. However, though he loves all of us, he doesn't bestow his favor. He doesn't put his favor on all of us. He's very selective on those he places his favor on. Now, to receive the favor of God, several things happen. Number one is that you can experience his presence quicker, faster, and deeper than 99% of the world. Most of the world, and some of you may be here, and it's okay, you'll grow in this gift, but some people, they think about God, they love God, but they can't really connect to him. When they close their eyes, they can't really connect to him, or even with their eyes open. I want to tell you, if you can drive in your car and you're driving down the road and you can talk to him and you just feel connected to him, that is the favor of God. When you're in church and you're worshiping and you just feel connected to him, that's the favor of God. The favor of God is when doors of opportunity open for you. And it's like, I cannot believe this. I could not have made this happen by myself. God did this. Wave at me or clap your hands if you've ever experienced that. Like, there's no way this could have happened. That's the favor of God. And that's in Revelation chapter 3, 2 verse 7 or 3 verse 7. I think it's 3 verse 7. That God opens up doors. That's the favor of God. Now, our case study is going to be Noah, because in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, God says, and God, the Lord, favored Noah. He favored him. Now, the entire earth only had sinful people in it. Sinful. The people who were involved in debauchery, idolatry, homosexuality, jumping in bed with people they're not married to, vulgar. They couldn't stand the things of God. They were sinful in every way. And the Lord looks down and he sees a man who is righteous. And the Bible says that Noah found favor with God. There's three things that Noah did to receive this favor. And these are the same exact things that you and I are to do to have this hand of favor on us, this favor to where we can walk and experience his presence, this favor where we don't have to fight for ourselves, the Lord fights for us. When there's a spirit tormenting you, you don't have to live with it. Angels draw their sword. This is the favor of God. There's three things that he did. There's three things that we need to do, and they're not that difficult at all. The first one is to be in right standing, righteousness of God. The second one is to have a fear of God. And the third one is to believe in what God has said. So let's unpack it. The righteousness of God. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, it says this, that he was a righteous man and that he lived blameless among the people. He was righteous. He lived blameless among the people. And he walked in close fellowship with the Lord. And so what's number one? He had favor, but why? He lived a righteous life. Now, what does righteousness mean? Righteousness is to look at your former ways of living prior to saying, Lord, you're my king. To look at your former ways of living and say, these things I do not do. Let me say it again. Righteousness is to look at your former way of living before you gave your life to God and saying, there are certain things I do not do. A child of God is not identified by the things they do as much as identified by the things they refuse to do. I'm not going to talk like that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to dress like that. I'm not going to act like that. I'm not going to talk like that. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. It says this, we must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your former ways of living. You didn't know any better then. Now, the wonderful thing about righteousness is righteousness doesn't mean that you are flawless. In fact, Noah got plastered drunk. Plastered. Drinking wine is not a sin. Getting plastered is a sin. He says, do not be drunk. Drinking wine, Paul said to Timothy, Timothy would get sick to his stomach before he preached, and he's like, look, have a glass of wine. It is good for your stomach. But Noah got plastered, like being naked. But he was called righteous. See, righteousness is hungering and thirsting to be standing in the presence of God, to be living right. In Matthew 5, 6, he says this, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, I'll make you righteous. So the desire to be righteous, and you're not playing both sides. We used to have a worship leader. I'll just call her Tamara, just give her a different name. She was good, like good. But we found out that on Saturday nights, she would sing at a social club. Now, when I was growing up, we didn't call them social clubs. We called them nightclubs. Anybody just was like, I didn't even know what a social club was. I'm like, what in the world? So everybody get around and get on Facebook together? Like, I don't know. But anyway, somebody sends me a video. They're like, hey, do you know Tamara sings at a social club? I was like, and what do I care? They're like, let me show you a video. So she's singing. Now, there's artists out there that I became aware of when they showed me the video. Her name is Shakira. Some of you are laughing and smiling, so clearly you've heard of her. She sings a song called Hips Don't Lie. So here I'm looking at a video of our worship leader. Hips don't lie. And I'm like, what do they not lie about? Not gonna even let my head go there. Hips, don't lie. Next song, if you like it, should have put a ring on it. How do I go about this? She's singing Hips Don't Lie on Saturday night, and then on Sunday morning, she's singing, holy, holy, holy. And I'm like, what? You're confusing me. Are you with me? Just nod your head. You're confusing me. And more so, I believe you're confusing the Lord because he's a jealous God. So what is going on here? I've given this illustration before. You ever see those people on the circus where they're standing on two horses and they're like, yeah, yeah. But that's not how you live for the Lord, where you live for the Lord on Sunday and you don't on Saturday. And you can't. No, one horse is going this way. The other horse is going that way. You got to pick which horse you're going to jump on. You can't ride both. You can't. You just can't. You can't ride. And so I went to my wife and I'm like, hey, you ever ask your wife a question you already know the answer to? So, Tamara, let me just show you the video. My wife's like, what? And she's like, well, she's got to make a choice. And I said, Allie, she already crossed that bridge. She thought, can I do this and that? And there was no conviction there. And so we were like, we'll give her another shot at this. And she's like, I'm making too much money on Saturday night. I can't. Okay. This is not longing for righteousness. This is not saying, I'm walking away from this to do this. This is not righteousness. This, and you say, I want the favor of God in my life. And there has to be a separation where people know you're different. There's something different. You know, I've talked to a lot of people sometimes, and they're like, I want to act like everyone else because I don't want them to feel awkward when I'm around them. And I'm like, no, we want them to feel awkward. There's something different about you. There's something different. That's when the Lord goes, I know how hard that is. I'm going to bless you. Several years ago, I heard this guy talk about, he had this vision, he had a dream. And in the dream, he was walking into this club that he frequented. He went there often. And he goes, I walked into the dream and these demons were laughing at, they were pointing towards me and they were laughing. And then I realized they were pointing towards me, but they weren't laughing at me. The Holy Spirit was right next to me. I knew he was next to me, and they were laughing at the Holy Spirit. And they were like, you think that he's yours. He's ours. You're with him, but he's ours. He talks like us. He walks like us. He hangs out with us. He's ours. And the Holy Spirit just stood there and received the mocking and the laughing. And in his dream, he just started crying. And he said, I'm so sorry that I have put you in these situations. Not just in the club, but just the way I live my life, where demons mock and laugh at you. I tell you, in my own life, when I read that, I just thought, oh God, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. A right standing with the Lord. And then number two is he feared God. There was a righteousness. He hungered and he thirsted for righteousness. Let me say this. You want to write this down about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Because sometimes we're like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm righteous enough to go to heaven, or I don't know if my unrighteousness is going to send me to hell. Look, if you're concerned about it, you don't need to be concerned. If you're unconcerned about it, you need to be concerned. Are you with me? Say yes. Yes. All right, let's say yes again. Yes. Let me hear it one last time. Yes? Boom. All right, so the fear of God. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 7, that Noah had a holy fear towards the Lord, and so he built an ark for his family. Now, I just noticed this morning when I was going over my notes, so I didn't have a chance to unpack it. But notice that he didn't say, I built an ark for me. He didn't even say, I built an ark for me and my family. He said, I built an ark for my family. He was a shoo-in. That I'm all in. His family, especially one of his sons, his name was Ham. And scholars say that his wife's previous life was, what he's saying, what I do is going to affect my family. Let me say this. How you live directly affects at least five people. Directly. They build spiritual momentum, or they are discouraged to go back. From a spiritual standpoint, you affect the fire in their heart, or you help their heart grow cold. Let me say it again. You affect at least five people. You affect at least five people. The way you live around them either makes their heart get hotter for the Lord or colder for the Lord. Noah says this, I'm building an ark for not just me, but for my family. Why? He had a holy fear. What does a holy fear mean? I am in awe of you. You are, oh my goodness. That when we pray, we should just take a nanosecond, just a nano, just a like a blink, to realize who we are talking to. Acts 17 and 18 says, in him we live and breathe. You are in him. You're like a fish in water. You are in him. Realize. See, this flood, let me help us with the awe of God. This flood was not a torrential downpour of rain. It was, but that was just a piece of the flood. Yes, water was coming down constantly. Yes, 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 yes. But that was just a piece of it. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, it says that in the depths of the earth, the waters flew out. There was a rumbling in the tectonic plates. There were volcanoes. Boom! There were tsunamis. You've seen them on the news. Tsunamis. Out of the deep, it bursts. There were earthquakes. The whole world shaking under this. Shaking. Think about how powerful he is to make the whole earth shake. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27, it says this, all that can be shaken will be shaken, so that only unshakable things may exist or remain. When the favor of God is on you, when righteousness is something you hunger for, everyone will be shaken around you. There'll be fear and worry and turmoil. But because you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be the person that the Lord says all may be shaken, but you will remain. You will remain. So there's this fear. I was in a restaurant years ago. It's like 21 years old, and it was like at a Chili's, but it was at Applebee's. Anybody like Applebee's? All right, nobody loves Applebee's, but everybody loves the song about Applebee's. Or half, 1% of you love the song. I'm sitting there, it's just me and this guy. He was quite a bit older than me. His name was Patrick Schatzline. I usually don't say people's name. I usually change it. But this guy's like a legend in my life. Patrick Schatzline. I called him Schatz. He was about 15 years older than me. He's kind of a mentor in my life. I'm sitting there in Applebee's. And now it's like Chili's. There's a bar over there. And so there was this guy. He was plastered, drunk. So he's cursing up a storm. And I want to, like, when I'm around somebody like that, I want to say, hey, you're better than that. Like, you don't need it. You're better. You're better than that. But this guy is clearly drunk as a goose. Can a goose? Drunk as a skunk? Same question. Can a skunk get, anyway, I'm chasing rabbits. Now we're talking about gooses and rabbits. But anyway, he's drunk, he's cursing up F this, S ain't the D. But then he starts saying, Jesus Christ. Now, I can endure somebody cursing. I can endure. I don't like it. I can endure it. Don't like it? I can endure it. Now you start, Jesus, now my skin is crawling, right? Are you with me? Say yes. Come on, let me, are you with me? Say yes. Now my, okay, my skin, But you know what? At 21, I weighed like 98 pounds. At some point in the last couple of decades, everything changed. Those Debbie cakes caught up to me. Those red coconut zingers caught up to me. Anyway, the guy I'm sitting with goes, hey! What are you doing? This guy's gonna come over and break me. And then he's coming after you. And this is one of those guys who's country strong. You know what I'm talking about? He's never been in Gold's Gym in his life. He's just his fingers are like sausages. Hey! And the guy turns around. And I'm like, oh, my God. He goes, that's my Lord. That's my God you're talking about. And I'm like, and he goes, sorry about that. And he goes back to cursing, but he doesn't say Jesus Christ. And I'm like, okay, in my life, you just became a legend. But if you peel it back one layer, who God was to him is so wonderful, is so awesome. That even if you say his name wrong, I got a problem. That's the awe of God. This is what Noah had. He reached. Righteousness was important to him. Let me say that. Righteousness was important to him. He messed up quite a bit. Righteousness was important to him. He reached. He longed. He hungered. God, help me. You deserve for me to live righteous. Help me. He had a hunger for righteousness. He had a fear of God. You're amazing. But then here's the very last one. He believed in his word. He believed. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, it says, and because Noah had faith in God, he counted him righteous. So not only did he long for righteousness, but the Lord said, look, I know you long for righteousness, Matthew 5, 6, those of you who long for righteousness, I'm going to make you righteous. But just because you believe in me, when I look at you, I see no fault. I see a righteous person. And what exactly does believe in him look like? To believe that he's there? Sure. But to believe in what he says. When a person begins to believe what they say they believe, everything in their life changes. When a person begins to live believing what they say they believe, everything in their life changes. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You cannot please God without faith. Anyone who has faith has two things. One, you believe that he's there. Number two, you believe that he rewards people who seek him. When you believe that God rewards people who pray and worship, God begins to favor you. I've said this many, many, many times. One of my greatest challenges in life, it's not just fighting depression, that's included. And if you come to church, you've heard this many times. But secondly, is the fear that I have reached the top of my trajectory. That how God is going to use me. Obviously, he uses me on Sunday morning. But what about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? That I've reached the top of my trajectory. And this morning, before service, I started thinking about it. And I could feel myself going into a spiral. And I was like, I can't go into a spiral. I'm supposed to encourage people in an hour and 17 minutes. This isn't good. And then I remembered my third point. If I can believe that he rewards people who diligently, consistently seek him, he rewards those people. If I can believe that, I say I believe it, but if I can believe it, if I can hang on to it, just keep saying it over and over again. Hebrews 11:6, that I believe in you and I believe that you will reward me if I keep worshiping, if I keep praising, if I keep seeking you. I believe it, I believe it. I'm going to keep worshiping, I'm going to keep praising you, and I believe you're going to hold up your end of the deal. That is the person the Lord looks at and says, aha, you know you're not perfect, but you're hungering and you're thirsting for righteousness. You're turning your back on the things that you used to. Oh, I see that you are in awe of me. You see how majestic I am. And you believe that I'm going to reward you. You really believe that. You are the person that's going to have my favor on your life. Isn't God good? Say yes. Why don't you stand up? Give him a standing ovation. Come on. Give it to him. Lord, we love you. Give him a good one. Come on. We always close the service in different ways. It's just, at this point, I don't prepare for this part of the service. It's just whatever feels right. And this is what I want to do. I want you to hold your hands out. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit if there's a part of your life that's just unrighteous. There's an attitude, maybe a righteous attitude, where you're right, everyone else is wrong. Maybe it's an unforgiveness. Now, keep in mind, typically a person lives righteous except for one or two areas. And those, that's what I want you to put in your hands. If it's one, just imagine it laying like a fire log on your hands. And if there's two areas, just think that one's in one hand and the other is in the other. I want you to just take a second and think about that. And I want you to just offer it to him right now. So this is yours. If you're in this room and you are not sure where you would spend eternity, if your heart were to stop beating in the next 5 minutes, I want you to just imagine your entire life is in your hands and you're saying, God, I'm laying this down. Everything I am, I'm laying it down. Now put your hands by your side. Now, I want you to put your hands back up, because this is the next moment, and tell the Lord what you need him to do. Lord, this is what I'm longing for. This is what I need. Maybe it's your biggest prayer request, your biggest challenge. This is what I need you to put in my hands. There's going to be no official dismissal, but please don't leave yet. Please don't leave yet. Don't slip out yet. I want to end this service worshiping him again. And what I'm asking for is just give 3 or 4 minutes. Sing this song through 1 or 2 times before you go. If you want to stay longer than 3 or 4 minutes, then you're free to do that. We're going to continue to sing. You just step out whenever you get ready, but let's sing this song just a little bit. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May his countenance be lifted up on you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.